It's a very rare case of voluntary swimming in the Bible. The sea usually depicts chaos and danger and is to be avoided. But Peter dons his fisherman's smock and dives into the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. His emotions must have been a mixture of ecstasy and trepidation as he swam to the shore, to the reunion with his master, the master he had abandoned and denied as he sat around the first charcoal fire. Peter's plunge and the icy shock act as a form of cleansing and preparation for meeting the risen Jesus. Jesus provides breakfast and then gently provides reconciliation, confirmation of forgiveness, and rehabilitation for Peter. Through his three questions, he recalls the threefold denial of Peter. But Peter is not disqualified by his past. Failure is not final. But as part of his opportunity to rebuild his life of discipleship, there has to be acknowledgement of Peter's past. It's where he's come from, and it emphasizes the extent of forgiveness through the cross and the extent of life-giving transformation through the resurrection. Peter, fed, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, is given the role of leading the mission of Jesus, the mission of feeding and tending the flock, feeding through proclaiming the gospel and living it, feeding through showing how the gospel transforms and inspires lives, feeding through sharing the body and the blood of Jesus. A mission which has to involve risk and danger, and ultimately for Peter, paying with his life. In a similar way, as we heard in Acts, which Elizabeth read, Saul is rehabilitated and sent as Paul. He's firstly sharply reminded of the persecution of Jesus and his followers. He's blinded and brought low before being built up, transformed, and prepared for his crucial role in the mission. As the disciples hauled in the 153 fish without breaking the net, the church has a universal mission and a flexible scope to draw all in. Now, as I think I mentioned at one point last year, numbers are always packed with meaning in Scripture, and theologians with an anorak tendency towards numbers have gone to town on 153. The early church father Jerome believed that it represented the number of different species of fish in the Sea of Galilee. Others see significant mathematical properties. 153 is a perfect triangular number. It's the sum of all numbers from 1 to 17. 17 being the sum of 7 and 10. 7 and 10, two very significant Jewish numbers indicating completeness. 7 days of the week, 10 commandments, etc. But then again, perhaps there were 153 fish in the net. But I think the number is significant. But the most important significance is its completeness, its all. The church is open to all. It has to be completely diverse, with all social, ethnic boundaries trampled underfoot. As the early church, led by Peter and Paul, extended its mission through the Jewish and Gentile worlds, it embraced all, treated all as equally loved. Men, women, slave, free, all radically worshipping together without division. Medical care, hospitality, food offered to all in need, irrespective of race. Attitudes that completely astonished the Roman world. And this radical inclusivity and potency for social transformation has perhaps over the centuries been blunted as the church has aligned perhaps too closely with worldly power and influence. Its opposition to slavery, its support for racial and sexual equality, taking centuries, millennia, to become passionate causes. Radicalness that we all need to keep reigniting. And something that perhaps will become easier as the church moves to the margins of established and respectable society. As Peter was called home, fed, forgiven, transformed, and sent, so are we. We're invited to sit with Jesus to his breakfast. Our Eucharist, our collective feeding through word, prayer, bread and wine, is our spiritual home. As the ever-wise Timothy Radcliffe writes, God accepts our limited, fragile, forgetful loves. All that we can offer now is accepted, since if there's a place for Peter and Paul, who denied and persecuted, there is a place for us. We all have aspects in our past, on our record, aspects of past performance of doing wrong, not doing right, that have been at best disappointing, or possibly, and certainly in my case, deeply wince-inducing when I recall things that we'd love to keep hidden. Here we are fed, restored, and sent out to feed others. In this week of breathtaking, miraculous comebacks at Anfield and Amsterdam, quite extraordinary. In this week of comebacks, our gospel assures us of our potential to make spectacular comebacks from our dubious pasts. God works through the weak, through Peter and Paul, through you and me. In the certain hope of the resurrection, we're all invited to take that plunge and embrace the risk of being agents of the light of resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.